Introduce our next speaker, who happens to be a PhD student in my program. So Pinky Devi will be talking about watermelon grafting, kind of continuing that theme a little bit.
Hello everyone, I'm Pinky Devi. I'm a PhD student, as Dr. Karel already mentioned, I'm a PhD student under her program at Department of Horticulture in Washington State University. So today I'm going to talk about effect of irrigation and plastic mulches on verticillium wool severity of rootstock for watermelon grafting. So before going into detail, I would like to give a brief description about watermelon production. So watermelon is one of the top five fruits first food consumed, and it accounts for 7% of the vegetable production worldwide area. The annual production of watermelon is about 90 million tons every year. In United States, the production value is over 596 million in 2017. In Washington State, production area for watermelon decreased from 754 acres in 2007 to 488 acres in 2012. So there are two key factors involved in why there is tremendous loss in watermelon production. So those factors are, first one is biotic stress, which is soil-borne diseases like verticillium wilt, fusarium wilt, root nematode. And second one is abiotic stresses, which are temperature extremes, soil salinity, and drought. In that case, grafting watermelon onto resistant rootstock has potential to increase the watermelon production by providing more vigorous root system to control water and nutrient uptake. So what is verticillium wilt? It is a destructive soil-borne disease caused by fungi, verticillium dahliae. So this picture is colonies of the verticillium dahliae. So these two pics are very interesting because the first picture is showing the non-grafted watermelon plants, which is severely infected with verticillium wilt, and the second picture showing the grafted watermelon without verticillium wilt. And these two pictures we took from the same field and the same date, as you can see, from our Mount Vernon field station. So in Washington, for crop production, you use drip irrigation and plastic mulch. So why irrigation is so crucial for the crop production? Because if there is drought stress, there will be loss of water cellular potential, which causes slow growth, poor crop quality, and results in gradual death of the plants. And it also favors the development of the plant pathogen, which causes a disease stress. And what is the role of plastic mulch? Plastic mulch increase the soil temperature. It also reduce the soil water loss, thereby it maintains the uniform soil moisture and reduce irrigation frequency. It increases the crop development and it results in earlier harvest. So in 2017, we conducted a research experiment which is to evaluate effect of irrigation and plastic mulches on commercially available cucurbit rootstock for verticillium wilt resistance. The first picture is the 7 days old rootstock, which is squash, interspecific squash hybrid. The second picture is 14 days old, the interspecific squash hybrid in the greenhouse. And the third picture is showing the plants after transplanting to the field, which are 1.5 months old. So this experiment was conducted in a certified organic field at Mount Vernon, where environmental condition, the temperature is at average 16 degrees Celsius, relative humidity is 74%, and average precipitation is 41 millimeter. So in this graph, you can see x-axis total precipitation, and the y-axis, this is the months during the growing season. And the soil of the experimental site is Kazit silt loam. So this experiment had split plot design, where 6 plants per subplot with 2 replication. For this experiment, we used 2 main plot treatments, which are scheduled water irrigation treatment and reduced scheduled irrigation treatment. For this both treatment, we use 4.3 liter of water per minute flow per 100 meter area weekly twice. And in both treatment, there was 33% less water in treatment B than treatment A. For split plot treatments, we use 2 plastic mulches, which are black plastic and clear plastic. For subplot treatments, we use 7 commercially available rootstock and 1 seedless watermelon cultivar, which is Fascination, that is known to be verticillium wilt susceptible. So for 7 commercially available rootstock, we use Tatsukubato, Super Sintosa, Zast, Flexifort, Syntoza camel force, cobalt, and carnivore. So these rootstocks are crossed between Cucurbita maxima and Cucurbita moschata. As I already mentioned, for control we use fascination. These all the plants we seeded in the greenhouse on 72 cell trays and transplanted into the field on 22nd June 2017. So before transplanting the plants into the field and after the growing season, we did soil assay for Verticillium dahliae. So let me give you a brief description about the method. We collected the soil samples from the field, then we dried them in the greenhouse condition, and then we plated them on the NP10 medium, and we incubated for 4 weeks at room temperature. And after 4 weeks, we washed the plate gently under the tap water and observed under the microscope. So for that, we collected the soil sample 2 weeks before transplanting and 2 weeks after growing season. For that, we collected six 4.5 centimeter diameter core sample to 15 centimeter depth ram down nail. So results were, before transplanting, we found five colony forming unit per gram of soil, and after the growing season, we found 12 colony forming unit per gram of soil. We also recorded soil temperature under clear and black plastic by using a temperature probe for the growing season. And x-axis it is showing the temperature in the Celsius, and the y-axis showing the growing season. So we found average soil temperature throughout the growing season in black plastic was 19 degrees Celsius, and in clear plastic it was 20 degrees Celsius. We also recorded soil moisture for each plot for the growing season. As you can see, in the x-axis, it is the soil volumetric water content, which is soil moisture in percentage, and the y-axis, the growing season. However, we didn't find any significant difference in soil moisture for in between clear black and clear plastic. We rated the plants every week for the disease symptoms, which are chlorosis, necrosis, and wilting, from the appearance of the first symptoms on 60 days after transplanting to 94 days after transplanting. And at the end of growing season, we constructed area under disease progress graph. However, we didn't find any significant difference due to irrigation treatment or mulch treatment. But the AVWC value was quite higher for the control watermelon variety than 7 commercially available rootstock. Here is the disease severity graph. In the y-axis, it is Verticillium wilt severity in percentage, and y-axis, it is showing days after transplanting. As you can see, for the fascination with the control, the disease severity level was quite higher compared to the 7 commercially available rootstock. So at the end of the growing season, we also did stem assay for Verticillium dahliae to verify the infection. For that, we collected around 5 centimeters of stem sample from severely infected two plants, for randomly selected two plants from each subplot. Then we collected 2 grams of the stem sample, sterilized with 70% ethanol, and put in a extraction bag and ground with drill press. And from the extraction bag, we took 1 ml of sample and plated on NP10 media and incubated for 4 weeks at room temperature. And after 4 weeks, we also again observed the colonies under the microscope. So here is the result. We didn't find any difference due to irrigation and mulch treatment at the end of the season, but in the graph, you can see the y-axis showing number of Verticillium dahliae colonies, and the y-axis showing all the treatments. As you can see, for fascination, the first one, it's showing quite very high number of colonies for Verticillium dahliae as compared to the 7 commercially available rootstock. However, cobalt just Super Syntosia and Tetsukubato in clear plastic, there was no Verticillium dahliae colonies. So here comes the conclusion. There were no significant difference in disease severity of 7 commercially available rootstock or watermelon due to different irrigation and plastic mulch treatment. However, between the treatments control watermelon, there was higher severity level than compared to 7 commercially available rootstock. More research is needed to test water application in the field that may create symptoms, stress to evaluate rootstock, and follow-up studies should include watermelon grafted onto promising rootstock. So here are my references. With that, I would like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Carol Miles, and WSU Mount Vernon, NWRC, vegetable horticulture staff, for helping me in my experiment. I also want to acknowledge funding agency USDA SCRI, which is Specialty Crop Research Initiative, and seed companies Seedgenta, Taki, Rizwan, and Shakata for donating seed for our experiment. Thank you. At this time, I will take any question.
We have time for questions.
Yes.
Which of those your growers tend to use, and why do you use
those? Okay. So question is, we use for our experiment clear plastic and black plastic. So why growers use this plastic? So when we with bare ground, wheat pressure is quite high. But when we use plastic mulches, the wheat pressure is very less, and also it decreases, I already mentioned, it decreases the irrigation frequency, because when we use plastic, it reduces the soil water loss, thereby it increase the plant health, and it also increases the microbial activity in the soil, which eventually results in decreases the disease severity.
If I can add to that, I'm sorry. So if I can add to that, our commercial production of watermelon in Washington is in the Columbia Basin. We're up in the northwest corner, so we're actually not in the production zone. In the Columbia Basin, the growers there will use clear plastic mulch. In the early season, one of the early plantings, they'll only do, you know, maybe 10, 25 acres, so a fraction of the farm will go into clear plastic mulch. But the reason they do that, and the reason that they don't put all of it in, is because of the risk. And the risk is that you can burn the plants off if you get a big heat event. But when it works, they'll get to the market 2 weeks earlier, and that'll give them a price premium. So it's a little bit risky, but they're doing it.
So question is, what is the weed control under the plastic? Because when it suppose when we use black plastic, there was no sunlight that can penetrate to the plastic mass, so that then weeds cannot grow without light. So that also suppresses the weed. And with clear plastic, even though solarization penetrates to the plastic, the soil temperature is quite very high, and that also suppresses the weed. Even though they grow, eventually they died during the growing season.
Thank you.